61 this morning. Hey, while you're turning there, let me encourage you. We have some new fall tracks. I mentioned these Wednesday night. We have a kind of a generic fall track. It says, "Join us at Maranatha Baptist Church." It has the gospel on the back. We have a fall thank you track if you're at a restaurant or anywhere at all and you want to give a thank you track. And then we have heaven. You can know for sure fall track, and I'd encourage you to grab some of those and be giving those out. You only have about a month, and then we'll put the Christmas tracks out, so take as many of those as you possibly can and be giving those out over the next few weeks. Psalm 61, let's stand to our feet this morning for the reading of God's Word. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and toddler church this morning. Psalm 61, the Bible says, "To the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David." And that word Neginah there is simply referring to stringed instruments. He says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Your heart ever felt overwhelmed? What does the psalmist do? He says, "When my heart is overwhelmed," he said, this is, Lord, what I want you to do. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." And I want to bring you a message this morning entitled "Rock of Ages." Father, please help today. Please teach us. Please do in our hearts what only you can do, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter number 17, we have one of the accounts, or the account, of the children of Israel after they have left Egypt. They've gone through the Red Sea. And the Bible says in Exodus 17, verse number 1, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, God tells us who that rock was. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Numerous times in the Scriptures, the Bible speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ as being the rock. We're not going to go through all of them this morning. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 4, that He is the rock. By the way, capital R. In verses 15 through 18 of that same chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, Hannah describes Him as her rock. In 2 Samuel 22, in Psalm 18, in Psalm 31, in Psalm 46, in Psalm 28, in Psalm 31, in Psalm 62. Would you look there? You're in Psalm 61, I hope. Would you look at Psalm 62? The Bible says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. Hey, can I tell you today why so many Christians are falling apart today? Because they're making stuff and they're making people their rock instead of Jesus Christ. And so when the bad circumstances come, and when the money isn't what it ought to be, and when trials and tribulations come, they just absolutely fall apart because their rock is not Christ. Their rock is some item. Their rock is a person. Their rock is a hobby. And so when that's gone, they feel like their life is gone. And the psalmist David said, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Why? Because He's my rock. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They all consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Where's your expectation this morning? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but God over and over and over, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures is called the rock. And that's what I want to speak on this morning, the rock of ages. And I want to show us from Psalm 61 why Christ, or not necessarily why Christ, we know that, but why it is so vital that we trust and that we lean upon the rock of ages, not something else. So let me give you number one this morning. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back. I want us to see, first of all, that Christ, our rock, first of all, is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. The word overwhelmed here in Psalm 61, it means covered, it means engulfed, it means consumed. And again, David is engulfed, he is consumed, he is covered with the grief, if you will, of his son Absalom rebelling against him. By the way, I believe Psalm 62 is just a continuance of that grief about Absalom rebelling against him, taking the kingdom, stealing the hearts of the people. And the Bible says here that David's heart is overwhelmed. The word outpost, outpost is a small military camp or fort at some distance from the main camp. By the way, that's exactly where David's at right now. David's away from the palace. David's away from his military might, if you will. He is in an outpost, or by the way, he is at an outpost provided by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself by His rock. And there are times, I would say there are times after times after times after times where our hearts are overwhelmed and we need an outpost. We need a sanctuary. We need a shelter. We need a strong tower. And that strong tower, that outpost, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some man. It's not some activity. And I've said this before, but many times we try to cover up the issues and the problems and the trials. We try to cover them up with going places and activity and all that. But when we come back and we're in our quiet time and everything is quiet, it's still there. And that's why we need to rest on the rock. First of all, Christ, our rock, is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. What does He do for us? First of all, He hides us in His haven. He hides us in His haven. Again, verse number 3, the Bible says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." He hides us in His haven. Secondly, He fortifies us from the fold. He protects us. He shelters us again. He fortifies us. As verse 4 says, He puts us under His wings. And that leads us to letter C. Not only does He hide us in His haven, He fortifies us from the foe, He warms us under His wings. You know why many of us are so cold? Because we're not hiding under His wings. Because we're so filled with this world, the warmth of Jesus Christ isn't in us. We're cold to the core. You know why it takes us the Sunday school hour and half of the preaching hour to actually get engaged with what's going on at church on Sunday morning? Because we're so filled with the world. And because we're finding our rock somewhere else. Listen, if we're hiding under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ on Saturday night, we'll be ready to come in here on Sunday morning. If we're hiding under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ on Friday night and on Monday when we start the new week of work, and if we're hiding under the warmth of His wings, we're going to come in here on Sunday morning ready to worship. We're going to come in here on Sunday morning ready to receive what the Word of God is. Not just, well, here we go. It's 11:33. Pastor's got 27 minutes. And once that 27 minutes over, I'm checking out because I'm ready to go home and eat. And listen, I'll tell you what, I'm ready to go home and eat too, but I need what God's Word has for me first and foremost. And He warms us with His wings. He hides us in His haven. And boy, we're hiding in this world, and we're so engaged in this world, and we're so locked into this world instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're finding our shelter, and we're finding our sanctuary, our tabernacle, verse number 4 says, we're finding it in so many other places other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're cold and we're dead. And I say we, I'm talking about Christianity in general today. Listen, the song that the choir sang, the song that Brother Steve just sang this morning, speaking about the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that excite you any this morning? We've got a nation full of people that woke up this morning with no voices because they're shouting and screaming for their team yesterday. And we get a little unnerved when somebody gets excited about Jesus Christ. We ought not. We ought to be excited about Jesus Christ. We ought to be excited about what He's done for us. Because that's what this is all about. We're born, we live, and we're going to die one day. And then what? Glory. That's what it's all about. Then what are we going to do for the next million, billion years? We're going to be with Jesus Christ. And this little speck of time that we have on this earth, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about living for Him. It's all about telling someone else about Him. And when our hearts are overwhelmed, Christ, our rock, is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. He hides us in His haven. He fortifies us from the foe. He warms us under His wings. And fourthly, letter D, He ministers to us with His mercy. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. Don't miss verse number 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. What sat under the wings of the cherubims in the holy place, or the holiest of holies? It's the mercy seat. I believe it's a direct reference to it right here in verse number 4. He said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert, the hiding place, the place where I'm covered of thy wings. The wings of the cherubims looking over the mercy seat. And where are we protected? Where are we hidden? At the mercy seat. Where are our sins forgiven? Where are our sins washed away? At the mercy seat, when the priest would come in and sprinkle the blood. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and He took that blood and He took it back to heaven and sprinkled it on the real mercy seat in heaven. And He did that for us. He did that so our sins could be forgiven. He did that, by the way, so that when we fail, we have a hiding place. And by the way, it's not hiding in the corner trying to hide from God the way Adam and Eve did. It's simply running to the mercy seat and hiding under the mercy of God. It's simply confessing and repenting and running to Jesus Christ and hiding under the covert of His wings. Number one this morning, Christ our rock is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. Notice verse number one, He says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." And that's exactly what He does when He ministers to us with His mercy. He attends unto my prayer. David, after fleeing Jerusalem, he's gone across the Jordan. He's ended up at Mahanaim. And he's waiting there and he's staying there. He's getting ready, actually. He's getting ready to go back and battle against the rebels. And one of those rebels being his own son. And his heart is overwhelmed. What does he say? "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Take me to higher ground. Lord, take me to a higher plane. My heart is overwhelmed right now because of what's going on. My heart is overwhelmed because of the rebellion of my son. But God, take me to a higher plane in my spiritual life. Lord, I don't want this to be the undoing of me. I don't want this to be the undoing of my kingdom. I don't want this to be the undoing of my fellowship with You. Take me to the higher ground. Take me to a higher plane. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Christ, our rock, is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. And I just challenge us this morning. I beg us this morning. Look, when challenges, when our hearts are overwhelmed, when trials and tribulations come, let's don't run anywhere else except to the rock. To the rock. Number one, Christ our rock is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. Number two, we don't necessarily find number two here, but I want to take us to a couple passages. Secondly, Christ our rock. We already read Exodus chapter 17. Christ our rock is the well for the weary heart. He's the well for the weary heart. Would you take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 4? Number one, He's the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. Number two, He is the well for the weary heart. John chapter number 4. What does the water of life do? That's who He is. He's the water of life. The water of life quenches, and the water of life quickens. The water of life quenches our parched souls. And the water of life quickens us. It makes us alive. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that. It said, "And you who were sometimes dead in your trespasses and sins, you hath He quickened, made alive." John chapter number 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." I find that so amazing. Jesus, in His physical body, is wearied with the journey. And He sits down at the well, knowing that He's getting ready to meet the spiritual need of a woman who is spiritually weary, because He is the spiritual well. Notice what He says in what the Bible says in verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith a woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I submit to us, number two, that Christ, our rock, not only is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart, but number two, He is the well for the weary heart. Would you take your Bibles and go a little bit further, actually real far, all the way to the end of the New Testament, to Revelation 21. Revelation 21 this morning. Revelation 21. He is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. He is the well for the weary heart. Revelation 21, verse number 6. Be honest with me this morning. How many of you, when you are physically parched and thirsty, instead of getting a nice glass of ice water, you get a Coke? Raise your hand real high. But after you drink that, you're still thirsty. Because it's the water that satisfies us, isn't it? It's the water. It doesn't satisfy necessarily our taste, but it satisfies our bodies. You know what? There are many Christians today who are parched because they're drinking at different wells other than the well of Christ. And they're thirsty, and they know it. But they're not going to the well of Jesus Christ. The well of Jesus Christ quenches. The well of Jesus Christ quickens. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6. The Bible says, And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Chapter number 22, verse 17. The Bible says, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And back in Exodus chapter 17, when Moses struck that rock and the water came out, that was a picture. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 10, we read it in verse number 4. That is a picture of Christ. The Bible says Christ is that rock. Christ is the one that satisfies. Christ is the one that supplies. Christ is the one that saves. Number one, Christ our rock is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. He is the well for the weary heart. Number three this morning, back in Psalm 61, He is the foundation for the fearful heart. Again, in verse number 4 of Psalm 61, the Bible says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me, notice this, don't miss this, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Hey God, you've given me the heritage from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have given me the heritage. You've given me this kingdom. You've given me this throne. You've given me the possession, the heritage of those that fear thy name. Christ our rock is the foundation for the fearful heart. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid this morning like we get afraid maybe in a storm, or we get afraid when we hear something and we hear a bump in the night. That's not what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of the fear that we ought have, the godly reverence that we ought have for God Almighty. That's what He's speaking of here. He said, those that fear Thy name. You've given me that heritage of those that fear Thy name. Notice what He says, Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. I believe he switches to messianic in verse number 7. He begins to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He says, He shall abide before God forever. In verse 6, it speaks about His kingdom being, He says, His years as many generations. I believe He's speaking of Jesus Christ. God had promised David that there would never fail to be someone on His throne. And we know that that ultimate king that'll sit on the throne of David and sit on the throne in Israel and reign is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, Christ our rock is the foundation for the fearful heart. Not the person that is afraid. That's not what I'm speaking of. Although we spoke in verse 2 about the overwhelmed heart. There is fear sometimes. But when I have physical fear or when I have outside fear, that ought to be automatically turned to faith in the true God. A fearful faith, if you will. Christ our rock is the foundation for the fearful heart. Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians real quickly? Ephesians chapter number 2. And I've given you 5 statements there about Him being the foundation, Him being the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is our possession. When I place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, He is my possession. He is my permanence. The Bible says back in Psalm 61, Thou wilt prolong the king's life. He is our preservation. In verse number 7, He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve Him. And by the way, it's mercy and truth which preserves us. Mercy and truth, which preserves us. The chief cornerstone is our performance. He says, will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. He is the foundation that I live for every single day. And by the way, in Corinthians, it tells us that we ought to be building upon that foundation, aren't we? The foundation has already been laid. That's Jesus Christ. And we're building upon that foundation. We're either building wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. We're building upon that foundation. Chief cornerstone is our performance. The chief cornerstone is our praise. He says, so will I sing praise unto Thy name forever. We were in the van Wednesday night. One of the kids was singing a song, and one of his siblings said, you ought not sing that. That's not a church song. And he said, Pastor, can I sing this song? And I heard what he was singing. I said, no. So you don't need to sing that here. He said, Pastor, you don't ever listen to anything but church songs? I said, yeah, pretty much. And he asked me the question. He said, why? He said, why? I don't remember exactly what I told him, but you know what the why ought be? It ought be Psalm 61:8. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever. Pastor, you only listen to church songs? Is that all you sing? Is that all you listen to? It sure ought to be. Because as a Christian, I ought to be in an attitude, a spirit of praise all the time. All the time. This isn't a song about music by any stretch of the imagination, but when I'm engaged with other type of music, I'm not praising Him. I'm praising the world. I'm praising flesh. I'm praising sinful activities. No. Christ our rock is the foundation for the fearful heart. He's our possession. He's our permanence. He's our preservation. He's our performance. What I ought be practicing every day, He is my praise. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's begin in verse number 11. We know verses 8 and 9. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now. It's what I used to be," verse 12. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints," with the saints, "and of the household of God." And I read all that to get to verse 20. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Christ, our rock, is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. He is the well for the weary heart. He is the foundation for the fearful heart. For the one that will say, as David says, he said, "I will abide, I will trust, I will abide in the tabernacle. I will trust under the covert of His wings." For that individual who sees that they're a sinner, understands that they deserve hell, and they place their faith and trust in Christ because they do fear and reverence Him. And they place their trust in Him. And He becomes their Savior. He's our foundation. We're stable. We're secure. We have good footing on which to stand and to live. And then we build upon that foundation. He is my foundation. Let me ask you, is Christ your rock today? Or is it a person? You ever heard someone say, "She's my rock"? I understand what they're saying by that. I could say that about my wife. It's like many of you could say that about your wives. When you're going through a hard time, she's the one that lifts you up. And when she's going through a hard time, you're the one that lifts her up. So I get that. But many times we say, "Well, he's my rock," or "she's my rock," or "my job is my rock," or "my security in my finances is my rock." Boy, what a fleeting rock to trust in. The Bible says that wealth makes itself, or money makes itself wings, and it flies away. And it does, doesn't it? Hey, my daughter was home this week, and I tell you, it just flies away. "Daddy, I need a new pair of black shoes. Daddy, I need..." Boy, what a useless thing. By the way, what an unstable thing to trust in. When Jesus Christ is the most stable thing to trust in, He is our foundation. He is our security. Number one, Christ our rock is the outpost for the overwhelmed heart. He is the well for the weary heart. And He is the foundation for the fearful heart. To the one that fears punishment in the lake of fire, He is our foundation. For the Christian, the one who has been saved, the one who has trusted, He is our foundation. when the trials and the troubles come, and with a reverent fear, we fear Him. He is our foundation. By the way, that's what worship, and I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, that's what worship is. It's reverence and obedience. Reverence, godly fear, and obedience. No, Pastor, worship is music. It can be, but it's not the only thing. Worship is reverence and obedience. Here's the truth. I worship God on a daily basis if I'm reverent and obedient. And I may not listen to a song all day long. I probably did, but I don't have to be reverent and obedient to worship the one who deserves my worship. He is the foundation for the fearful heart. He is our possession. He's our permanence. He's our preservation. He's our performance. And He is our praise. Is He that to you this morning? When troubles come, do you hide under the covert of His wings at the mercy seat? God, have mercy. That's what David's asking for. God, my son Absalom's rebelling. God, my subjects are rebelling. God, I'm going to trust at Your mercy seat. I'm going to trust in Your mercy. You've been so merciful to me so many times. That's where I'm going to run to. And he abides in the tabernacle and he trusts under the covert of the wings of Almighty God. Is that who you're trusting today? Or are you focusing on the circumstances? Are you focusing on the trials? Are you trusting in something different? I submit to us this morning, He is the Rock of Ages, and He will forever be so. Father, thank You for the time You've given us today. Father, be with us during the time of invitation. Father, just help. If there's one here today without Christ, I pray that they would come to the knowledge of Christ and be saved. Father, for believers, would You help us to hide in Your haven? Lord, would You help us to be fortified in Your shelter and in Your strong tower? Would You help us to be fortified against the foe? You said, You told David that You would shelter him, that You were a strong tower for him against the enemy. Father, I'm so grateful that You warm us under Your wings. And I'm so grateful that You minister to us with Your mercy. And Father, if this morning we're not trusting that as believers, if we're not anchored to You as the rock, Father, may we remove our anchor from wherever else we have it placed, wherever else we have it moored, and Father, would we place our anchor in You this morning. Father, help. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. If you're physically able, if you'll stand with me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Jo's going to play this morning. I don't know knees this morning, but the Holy Spirit does. And if the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart, I challenge you to move. I challenge you to do business with Him this morning. Let me ask you, dear friend, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you confident of that? Are you trusting in the covert of His wings? Are you hiding at the mercy seat where the blood is sprinkled? Covers our sin, washes away and forgives. If not, would you come? Dear believer, are you trusting in the Rock of Ages this morning? Might be someone in here this morning, I don't know, I don't know this, but maybe you got a bad report from the doctor this week. Maybe you got a bad bank statement this week. Maybe you got an unexpected bill this week that just kind of overwhelmed you a little bit. Let's simply be like David and say, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God, take me to a higher plane. Grow me spiritually. Help me to trust in the covert of Your wings. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Is that where you're standing this morning? All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. Let's do this. Let's take our hymnals this morning and